Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Happy Valentine's Week, everyone. Well, today's topic certainly fits right in with the V-Day holiday, love, romance, and keeping marriages happy and healthy. So I guess this is the perfect segue to my special guest. Malini Bhatia is founder and CEO of Marriage.com. Malini's passion for supporting people, building and sustaining positive, healthy relationships, combined with her business acumen, led to the creation of her online portal, Marriage.com. Malini's background is in PR and communications, and she's worked with companies in tech, healthcare, and the nonprofit sector. She has a postgraduate degree in international business management, and she holds a bachelor's degree in economics. Malini, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here today.
Well, we're happy to have you here because, as I said, you know, we're getting close to Valentine's Day, and, you know, love, romance, and keeping that marriage healthy is so important, especially when you hear all the statistics about divorce, right, in this country.
It's pretty alarming, you know, how marriage as an institution really needs help. And like you said, the statistics are kind of reinforce that fact, considering 50% of marriages in the United States end in a divorce. And if you really break those numbers down, the rate of first divorces in the first marriage is 41%, 60% of second marriages, and a number as high as 73% of third marriages ending in a divorce. So clearly, you know, there is a need in that space.
Yes, I mean, you're just doomed, basically. By the time, if you get to your third marriage, why bother?
I know. So definitely there's scope for help.
Yeah, I mean, it just wasn't that way back in the 50s, I would gather. The statistics have certainly changed. But please tell us your inspiration behind Marriage.com.
Sure. So like you said, Marriage.com really is a website that we have that provides expert advice, trusted resources, and positive information to support happy and healthy marriages. And it's really like your first step for anybody who's seeking advice and guidance on marriage-related issues. So the site is kind of like your confidant, where you have access to insight from experts and therapists who really are qualified in that area. So Marriage.com is especially ideal when somebody does not have resources to seek therapy or is not really comfortable speaking about, you know, issues related to their marriage or their relationship with their family and friends. So that's what is Marriage.com. It's really a place where you can get advice and support without any judgment. And my, like you had said, Gary, earlier, that my passion for supporting people in building and sustaining healthy relationships is really what inspired the creation of Marriage.com. And we talked about some statistics. So my passion and the need for in this space is what led to the inspiration. Prior to running the website, I was involved in business with my husband in the technology space. And I was doing many things from operations to finance and a lot of aspects of the business, but I really wanted to do that one thing that, you know, helps people and adds meaningful value in their lives. And there was a phase in my life where people very close to me were really suffering in their relationships, which, you know, which was either leading them to get separated, divorced, or, you know, they were just living in the relationship in a marriage for the sake of it without really having a physical or an emotional connection. So that really made an impression. And it was around that phase in my life that my husband and I came across the opportunity to acquire the company Marriage.com, the domain, which incidentally then ran as a wedding website.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's a full-blown wedding website. And so we decided to make that investment and to completely change the focus from weddings, you know, which is one day in a person's life, to marriage, which is a lifetime event for somebody. So we rebuilt the website strategy completely and reflected the change in the direction that we wanted it to be in. And a year later, we relaunched the website. And today we have marriage.com.
Well, that's wonderful. I mean, and what a great resource. And, you know, as we said, it's certainly necessary in today's society. Are you feeling, so, you know, you had mentioned before that I guess you were in business, in the tech space. So are you just naturally tech savvy, or did you kind of learn as you go with marriage.com?
I definitely learned a lot along the way. Like I mentioned, I started my career in public relations and communications, both in the United States and internationally. And my first client really was in the technology space. Samsung was my first client. So I'd say the experience that I've had in technology and communication space was really what has given me the skills or the expertise on my current venture for marriage.com.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you said you were in PR and that you love technology.
Right.
So that's just so refreshing. Okay, so I'm sure that, you know, as you're going along and you're learning as you go with the technology, you're probably seeing from the start or the launch of marriage.com and until now that people are using your platform in different ways. So what are you learning about the folks who are on marriage.com and their participation?
That's a great question. We're actually seeing a lot of trends. Like I said, we have content written by marriage therapists and experts. We also have a forum where people can post any questions or concerns they have about their relationships. And we're covering all stages from, you know, pre-marriage to being married, being separated or even going through a divorce or being divorced. So when we try to analyze our audience, we're seeing that there's a lot of traffic on the topic separation, in particular stuff like, you know, how to get back after separation, treading carefully, or what are the steps to rekindle a marriage after separation. So that was a very interesting finding. And what's even more interesting is that while we're seeing a lot of traffic on this topic, we don't see enough social sharing on this topic. So people are not really sharing these articles on social media, perhaps because they're not comfortable, you know, talking about this aspect of their marriage or what they're going through in their relationship, which is reinforcing the fact that they need an avenue or they need a resource like marriage.com where they can get information or be connected to experts with whom they're comfortable talking about. And the other topic actually we see a lot of traffic on is physical intimacy, which again, a very important part of marriage. Again, a subject people are not very comfortable talking or sharing about. So, you know, all of this just kind of reinforces the fact that we really need platforms where people can get information without, you know, without being judged, without feeling that pressure from. So that's been a very interesting finding once we've analyzed our audience.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting. And I guess you're right with the social sharing. A lot of the topics that what they're talking about in the safe space, because that's what it is, you might not bring out to social media, because we all know that friends and family are on your social media, and that is one way to gauge what's going on in your life. I mean, I just liken it to, you know, even when our kids were posting on Facebook, if, you know, my daughter posted a certain type of song, my mother would be texting me to say, did you see the song that Megan posted? Is she upset today? So, you know, it makes sense. You're not going to put it out there. Do you see a lot of helping amongst people around topics? I mean, I know that they can talk to experts, but see the community as a whole guiding one another.
Yeah, we have a forum, like I mentioned, on the website where I see a lot of people posting questions, and there's a lot of participation from people who experienced or feel like they're able to help So I love seeing when the community is able to solve each other's problems, but there are also times when we are privately messaged about people going through issues in their marriage. And that's the time when we, connect them to a therapist. And we've had a number of cases where people have reached out to us, wanting therapy and mm-hmm. wanting to be connected. And we've found the right therapist for them based on the resource list that we have on our website. And in fact, there are people who cannot afford therapy, and we've had therapists give them therapy free of charge. So it's amazing to see, the kind of compassion that this audience has for each other. And we're real time seeing people benefit from this connection that we're being able to make with experts. And also from the community, from people who have experienced certain issues in their life, have just spoken about what they did and what steps they did, took. That has helped a lot of our users.
That's great. It's a community of trust.
Uh-huh.
So similar to social media, you tend to trust your peers more than you would trust anybody else. So I guess the same goes in this type of community. That's really interesting. What about differences? Are you finding any differences between younger or maybe older participants, women? Mm-hmm. Is there any difference, I guess, clearly between Gen X and mm-hmm. maybe millennials?
So our audience, so we get maximum traffic from women within the age group of 25 to 35 years. That's our primary audience.
Okay.
Women in their 20s, late 20s, are looking into topics like pre-marriage counseling, tips to prepare for marriage, what a bride needs to do, before she gets into a marriage. So those are the topics which are popular amongst women in their late 20s. I'd say women in their early 30s, get into topics like physical intimacy, separation, some of those are the popular topics that I mentioned about, as well as communication, finance, so getting into the aspect of marriage. So there's a clear difference. And that does stand out in the audience behavior.
Right, it's kind of a bummer that early 30s, a popular topic is separation.
Mm-hmm.
Which says, you hear that people are waiting longer to get married. So if they're waiting longer, let's say it's not early 20s anymore, but maybe it's late 20s
mm-hmm.
or early 30s, then if they're already looking up separation, how long have you been married for? That's kind of sad in a sense.
It is. And yes, it's just, that's the whole goal to kind of, it's just that people need to feel committed to that relationship and really not take hasty decisions. And that's the goal, to give them the kind of insight or give them the kind of connection they can at that point in time to endure that relationship.
Yeah. And, maybe at the same time, I'm thinking that if they are searching for these articles or talking about it in private discussion forums, that maybe they're learning. Sometimes when you hear other people talking, it almost makes you step back to say, maybe this isn't what I want, or maybe I don't have it so bad, or maybe I really should be doing something differently myself. So it's probably a really good learning experience, if anything. You mentioned before about people who need professional attention. Does that make you, as the owner of the site, are you just on 24/7 if you have situations where people need to reach out and it might be more urgent? What does that mean for you?
It definitely puts, I would never, ever take it lightly if somebody does, reach out with issues. So that is my biggest priority, to be able to have a, response time where we are really on top of it when somebody has issues or posts questions. We take the forum very seriously, and you're right. It is it is kind of, we have to be up 24/7. We have technology notifications in place where if an answer is not, being addressed for 12 hours, we'll take action on it. So it definitely puts that, but it really it's out of that desire to help people. So yeah. It kind of makes it very meaningful, and it doesn't seem like the pressure that it sounds like, but it feels good to be able to help at that time. And I think this is kind of a basic requirement out of tech companies right now. Definitely one that I expected. It is challenging, but something that we've been able to kind of get a handle on.
Well, I love your attitude, Melanie. I think that's really great. Mm-hmm. How you're looking at, you know, someone else's situation and being so supportive and making sure that any requests are answered, you know, within that 12 hours. Mm-hmm. So, you know, challenges. You just mentioned the word challenges, so we gotta jump on this. What are some of your biggest challenges, or were your biggest challenges with respect to launching your platform, and how did you overcome these challenges?
So I think for me, the biggest challenge was when I started the business. The challenge was really when I faced the risk of changing the direction from what was a website for weddings, which is a full-blown company. Just that, you know, that step of changing that direction from weddings to marriage, that was the challenge, you know, scrapping up what was already built. There were so many assets that were created. You know, take that decision that I'm going to scrap this whole thing and rebuild and start from scratch. So I think that for me was my fear, my challenge, which I had to overcome. And really taking that, facing that risk and taking that challenge, because I believed in what I was doing, or believed in the need for a resource like this, was how I overcame the challenge. And it's been a fabulous journey ever since.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a fabulous journey. And I think sometimes when we have belief in ourselves, mm-hmm. you can power through anything. Not to say that you're not going to rely on other people around you, but it really does start with your own mindset and how you're going to plow through. So, bravo. Good for you. Melanie, I'm going to ask you to hold all of your thoughts for now. We're just going to take a very quick break to give some love to our sponsor. And when we get back, Melanie will share her underlying pillars for a successful business.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with 2 M's.com.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. Melanie Bhatia, CEO of Marriage.com, and I were just chatting about her online portal, and she was just mentioning, you know, some of the challenges that she faced launching Marriage.com. So, Melanie, despite the challenge, which was really the switch from what was more a weddings website into a marriage website, which is quite necessary today, what do you think makes a business successful? I know that's a really broad question, but are there any, I don't know, underlying pillars that you look at or that support you, that you believe in, that make your business successful?
Yeah, it's a great question, Deirdre. I feel like every business requires strong pillars to be successful, and in your personal life too, which is your marriage, you require strong pillars to really survive the ups and downs. And I've been married 12 years to my husband, and it's been an interesting finding to see that the principles of a strong marriage can actually be applied to entrepreneurship or your business. And I'm just going to talk to some of those commonalities or those points or the pillars that you need for the success of both. I'd say commitment is one of them. Building a startup, which is how we started, is tough, and it requires a lot of hard work. Without that sense of commitment, it's really difficult to achieve any kind of success in business. And marriages too go through tons of ups and downs and highs and lows. And it really takes that level of commitment to make that marriage work. So that's one common. And then there's love. Love is the foundation of any marriage. And businesses are a labor of love. Marriage begins with two people falling in love. So love for what you do and who you are with really helps you sail through the tough times and, you know, move forward in both business as well as your married life. Then there's communication. We've heard so much about, how communication is critical to a marriage, for the health of a marriage. But even in your business, communication with your team members, with your partners, customers is a very key ingredient for a business. And then a point which is close to my heart is health and fitness. I feel like being physically fit contributes to the health of a marriage. And in a company as well, healthy employees are productive employees. So it's very important to kind of lay emphasis on a good work-life balance and really like look out for the health of your employees. And I think the most importantly is respect and positivity. Respecting your spouse in your marriage, respecting your employees, customers, and other audiences in your business is crucial. And just in general, maintaining that positive attitude in your marriage and in your work, it really goes a long way in contributing to success.
Oh my gosh, these are great. You know, I know all of these things, and I've always, you know, as you were talking about them, I certainly have applied them to business, but never really just flipped it over to personal life.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes a lot of sense. When I look at the list, so the commitment, love, communication, health and fitness, respect and positivity, there's something about those first two that are just so underlying and have to be there with mm-hmm. this deep sense. And then when I look at the third, the fourth, and the fifth, so communication, health and fitness, and respect, I feel like these are things that you can always work on, and sometimes they might lapse, but you can get better at it. Do you see that as well, where you have to have that passion, commitment, and love, and then the other things you can work on along the way?
Absolutely. You have nailed it, that these things are not easy and they may not come to you naturally, but the more you practice them, the more natural you become at it. The important thing is to be mindful of these things. So you nailed it.
Thank you. I mean, I had partners in business, I'm on my second marriage going well. Thank you. And I congratulate you on 12 years. That's awesome. But that word that you just used, being mindful, it's almost like you can never take for granted any of these pillars.
Right.
You might have one or two out of whack, but it just seems like you constantly have to be working at this and very mindful to move things forward. So I think this is really, really good to apply for business and your life. Being mindful, and especially tied to number four, health and fitness, I want to talk energy.
Mm-hmm.
Energy with you, energy levels, managing your energy. So how are you doing that between work and personal life?
I'm very glad you asked me this question, because I'm mostly asked, the question that I'm always asked is, how do you manage your time between work and personal life? But as you spelled it absolutely right, more than time, it's how, you know, it's more important to focus on your energy and managing your energy wisely. And I think it is really important to work or in your personal life to have that high life condition and take care of your health and personal needs. For me personally, I have two daughters who are 4 and 7, with whom I spend a lot of time with, and with my husband. I feel that gives me positive energy to work on my business. That helps me maintain that balance. And I'm also a spiritual person. I seek to maintain a positive mindset and balance in life. I have been practicing Buddhism for years. So I think all these things have given me the right energy to work on my business and balance my personal life as well. And I've, over the years, I've learned to be more mindful about this fact.
That's excellent. As a part of practicing Buddhism, does that include meditation?
It does. There is the type of Buddhism I practice is involves chanting, which is a kind of a meditation, but it is a daily ritual. And I think that has been, you know, a very important part of my life in this balance that I've been able to maintain.
And is that something, Melanie, that you sort of carve into your day? So let's say you have a chanting practice. Is that something that you do at the beginning of the day that's scheduled, or is that something at the end of the day? Or do you just, like, when your energy feels low, or are you just incorporating that into some part of your day at any time?
So I start my day with it and I end my day with it. That's the ritual that I follow for myself on a daily basis I'll do my best to start my day with it and end it. That's like a daily thing. But at any given time, if I feel that I need more, more energy in my life, I always retort to this practice that I've taken on in my life. It gives me that positivity and that energy that I need in my business. And I've been very fortunate that I've been able to share it with a lot of people in my life. And I feel like it's helping so many people. I mean, so much is being spoken about spirituality and adds just so much into a person's life. So I'm very fortunate that I've been able to inculcate it in my daily practice. And clearly it makes a very, very big difference in my life.
And when you feel like your energy is right, do you also feel like you're more focused?
Absolutely. Something that would take me like 4 hours and, which is probably the regular thing. I've seen that when I've gone with the right mindset and the right energy, it's taken me, like an hour or 2 hours to complete. And sometimes I'm like, wow, this is nice. But if you start your day on a negative note of, things have gone rough, that same thing which takes you 5 minutes to do takes you hours to get done. So it's really having, I think that having that thing in your mind, again, be mindful that, okay, it's not just about how much time I'm spending on this, but really, am I approaching it with the right mindset? And to just keep that, as your focus for when you're getting onto something.
I agree. I feel like that mindset starts the moment you open up your eyes. And I don't remember what book I was reading, but I do read a lot of books, whether it's, mindfulness, or I've read Intro to Buddhism, the positive mindset or positivity. But when you open your eyes, you set your day. Mm-hmm. So whether, you said you open your day with, let's say, the chanting, which leads to the positive energy, even just the mindset of saying, this is going to be a great day. Mm-hmm. I am going to accomplish, XYZ today. I'm looking forward to today. That alone helps to steer you in the right direction. So it's just really interesting what people do, as a part of their morning ritual that's going to set them in the right direction. I love hearing this from different folks. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
So, okay, let's play a game.
Okay.
I love to do fill in the blanks. So I'm going to say a phrase or ask you a question of some sort, and you get to fill in the blank. The top three reasons I love being an entrepreneur are...
One, it gives you the opportunity to do what you care about the most and you believe in. Two, I'd say entrepreneurship teaches you to face your fears and overcome challenges and obstacles that come your way. It's like you learn how to practice that muscle of fearlessness through entrepreneurship. And third is there's multidimensional learning as an entrepreneur. You're learning so many different things at so many levels. So this is what I love most about being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, it's that switching the hats, you can do so many different things. That's why I always loved, before I owned my own business, working at an agency. Because, mm-hmm. As a young PR professional working at an agency, one minute I could be working on a B2B account, and then I'm working on a really cool consumer account, and the next thing you know, you're on a nonprofit. It just really feeds all of the different ways that we like to experience business or our creativity or whatever it is. So I can totally relate to that. Okay, here's another one.
Okay.
From my mentors, I've learned...
Face your fears and keep moving forward. one, and wonderful things will happen to those people who work hard with tireless dedication and a lot of focus. So it's important to never stop believing.
Yeah, timeless dedication. So that's kind of saying, you know, great things are worth waiting for, and sometimes there are no shortcuts.
Right.
You say that.
Yeah, and hard work is important, you know, put in your best effort.
But what about, so go back to, this is, you mentioned twice, face your fears.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not always easy. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes we're in a, what is it, like the flight or fight mode. and many people choose flight because that is fear.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you actually change from, if your mode is hands up, I'm going to run away, how would you even start to face that?
I think
any advice?
I think it's, like I said, it's fearlessness is like a muscle. You just have to start doing it. The more you practice it, the better you will get at it. So it's important to incorporate that as, again, something that you've taken on. I'm going to be fearless about, even if it's something like skiing, I'm going to be fearless about this sport. I'm going to be fearless about the small little things in my life. And I think the more you're able to practice that, you're able to kind of incorporate it into bigger aspects of your life. So I think fundamentally, don't be afraid of failure. As you know, we like tend to get fearful of failure in our lives, but mm-hmm. there will always be obstacles and challenges. But the important thing is to move forward. It is inevitable that we will fail at something or the other in our lives at some point. But how we respond to that failure is what matters the most. It's really important to view those failures as a learning opportunity and really become better at what you do. So I think if you put that into practice, that's how we'll be able to face our fears.
Yeah, that's great. Sometimes I think that facing your fears means changing something in your pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And that slight change can get you on the way to doing something differently that makes you able to tackle or look at something and be able to face it. And it could be simple or it could be a really big fear, but you have to change it up. You can't,
right.
You can't keep your pattern. Otherwise, you will flight instead of fight. All right, one more. Here we go.
Okay.
Top three things that I do to build a strong relationship are?
Appreciate the people in my life and show gratitude for having them. Secondly, communicating in the correct manner. It's not just what you say, but how you say. And I think the most important thing is compassionate. To really be able to see myself in the other person's shoes or just look at the other person's perspective and want to help is what is most important to build a strong relationship.
That's great. Where do you think you learned your compassion from? Is that something you grew up with or you learned it in business?
I think I'm learning it in every aspect of my life. it really is something that I've seen it, especially in my relationship, in my marriage. You know, it's easy for us to like take off on things, but you really, when you put yourself in the other person's shoes, you step back, you see how to react, and you know, not just the way you'd like to, but just kind of think through it. It's really helped my marriage, and compassion is something that I've learned in my spiritual practice in Buddhism. We believe that we have to do things to make other people's lives better. So just sharing your own experiences of how you overcome struggles in your life, that can play a very important role in encouraging people to overcome similar experiences they may have in their life. So I think that quality of compassion I have learned through my spirituality, my relationships, and definitely in the business that I'm in right now.
Excellent. So, you know, going back to, well, you mentioned the compassion, which made me think about how everybody's helping one another within marriage.com,
uh-huh.
This safe space. And, you know, you're building a network. So for you,
mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, how much do you rely on your network of peers as an entrepreneur and a business owner? How much do they play a part in what you're doing?
a very, very crucial role. I think having a good network of peers is very important part of being an entrepreneur. I personally, I work out of a co-working space. Where there are a lot of companies who are working in the same space, it's extremely inspiring to be around them. There's a great vibe. There's constant networking with like-minded people who are on a daily basis making a difference in how I am, you know, in my business. Also, I'm a part of a startup founders group, which has been a great support. We talk about issues, we talk about challenges, we talk about our successes. So it just gives you that the energy to really move on positively in your business. I have friends who are entrepreneurs, and I think everybody's stories has made a very big difference in the way I am in my business, or the way I am, you know, the way I take on to challenges and problems. And I think for me, my husband is an entrepreneur as well, and he is my business partner, which has been a tremendous support. And I've just, you know, it's what I am today and what my business is today is totally because of the peers and, you know, the networking that I've been able to accomplish in the last few years.
That's great. And the resources must be vast, because every entrepreneur comes with, you know, their own kind of toolkit. Mm-hmm. So to be able to be in a co-working space with other entrepreneurs, or you mentioned this startup founders group, the resources must be abundant, the sharing, which is fantastic.
Absolutely. It's just there's so much that I've learned along the way. And it's I'm so grateful to them. For you know, for taking me this long path, it's been very important. I think, like you said, it's a very, very crucial part of being an entrepreneur.
Yes. So, okay, what advice would you give to other professionals, maybe who want to start their own tech company or business that's based online? What would you say to them?
I'd say something similar to what I've said before. I think fundamentally, it's important to do what you believe in. It's important to believe. You have to do work that you care about, because when you do that, when you believe in the problem that you're trying to solve, you have the passion that helps you drive you in your business. It automatically comes in. That's where it's important to really. It's important to like what you do. And again, I'd say that it's as along the way, it's very important not to be afraid of failures, because there will be obstacles, there will be challenges. You should not set you back. You have to continue moving forward. The tech space is very evolving. There are a lot of new things to learn. So, you know, it's important to just like go ahead, move forward, face it.
Right. And keep learning. I love that you said that there is so much to learn. Okay. So last question, super easy. Where can my listeners find out more about you and marriage.com?
Great. So it's on the website. It's marriage.com is the website. There is an about us section on the website where you'll find my interviews, thoughts, and my articles and a little bit about me. So that's on the website itself.
Excellent. Well, Melanie, thank you so much for coming on the show, sharing your journey, and giving great advice. Love your pillars for business and life.
Thank you.
Really super.
Thank you. I really appreciate being here today.
Oh my gosh. Well, we loved having you, so thank you. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. Until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered.